Chapter 3, Monday, May 27, 1776. Runaway from the subscriber, living at number 110 Water Street, near the new slip. A Negro girl named Pole, about 13 years of age, very black, marked with the smallpox, and had on when she went away a red cloth petticoat and a light blue short gown, homemade. Whoever will take up and secure the said girl so that the owner may get her shall be handsomely rewarded. Newspaper advertisement in the Royal Gazette, New York. The snake took us to Miss Mary's house to collect our blankets and two small shoes, but nothing else. We couldn't take Mama's shells, nor Ruth's baby doll made of flannel bits and calico, nor the wooden bowl Papa made for me. Nothing belonged to us. As I folded the blankets, Mr. Robert went out to the privy. There was no point in grabbing Ruth and running. He had a horse and a gun, and we were known to all. I looked around our small room, searching for a tiny piece of home I could hide in my pocket. What to take? Seeds. On the hearth stood the jar of flower seeds that Mama had collected, seeds she never had a chance to put into the ground. I didn't know what they'd grow into. I didn't know if they'd grow at all. It was a fanciful notion, but I uncorked the jar, snatched a handful, and buried it deep in my pocket just as the privy door creaked open. As the wagon drove us away, Ruth turned to see the little house disappear. I pulled her into my lap and stared straight ahead, afraid that if I looked back, I might break. By midday, we were in Newport, following Mr. Robert up the steps of Sullivan's Tavern. I had never been inside a tavern before. It was a large room, twice as big as Miss Mary's house, with two wide fireplaces, one on each of the far walls. The room was crowded with tables and chairs and as many people as church on Easter Sunday, except church was never cloudy with tobacco smoke nor the smell of roast beef. Most of the customers were men, and a few had their wives with them. Some seemed like regular country folk, but others wore rich clothes, not useful for muck shoveling. They made haste, tucking into their dinners, playing cards, paging newspapers, and arguing loud about the British soldiers and their navy and taxes and a war. Ruth didn't like the noise and covered her ears with her hands. I pulled her toward me and patted her on the back. Ruth was simple-minded and prone to fits, which spooked ignorant folk. Noise could bring them on, as well as a state of nervous excitement. She was in the middle of both. As I patted, her eyes grew wide at the sight of a thick slice of buttered bread perched near the edge of a table. We hadn't eaten all day, and there had been little food the day before, what with Miss Mary dying. I snatched a hand away as she reached for it. "Soon," I whispered. Mr. Robert pointed to a spot in the corner. "Stand there," he ordered. A woman burst through the kitchen door carrying a tray heavy with food. She was a big woman, twice the size of my mother, with milky skin and freckles. She looked familiar and caused me to search my memory. "We'll have Jenny fatten up the British Navy and make the ship sink to the bottom of the sea," yelled a red-faced man. The big woman, Jenny, laughed as she set a bowl in front of the man. The proprietor called her over to join us. She frowned as she approached, giving Ruth and me a quick once-over while tucking a stray curl under her cap. "These are the girls," Mr. Robert explained. "It don't matter," the proprietor said as he put his hand on Jenny's back. "We don't hold with slaves being auctioned on our front steps. Won't stand for it, in fact." "I thought this was a business establishment," Mr. Robert said. "Are you opposed to earning your percentage?"
"You want to listen to my bill, mister," Jenny said. "Advertise in the paper. That's what we do around here."
"I don't have time for that. These are fine girls. They'll go quickly. Give me half an hour's time on your front steps, and we both walk away with heavier pockets."
Jenny's husband pulled out a rag and wiped his hands on it.
"Auctions of people ain't seemly. Why don't you just talk quiet like to folks? Or leave a notice tacked up. That's proper."
"I recall an auction not 20 yards from here," Mr. Robert said. One of Brown's ships brought up a load of rum and slaves from the islands. They must have sold 35, 40 people in 2 hours' time.
Rhode Island don't import slaves, not for 2 years now, Jenny said.
All the more reason why folks want to buy what I have to sell. I want this done quickly. I have other business to attend to.
Is that our problem, Bill? Jenny asked her husband. He says that like it's our problem.
Ease off, Jenny, Bill said. The girls look hungry. Why don't you take them to the kitchen?
Jenny looked like she had plenty more to say to Mr. Robert, but she gave Ruth and me a quick glance and said, follow me. Mr. Robert grabbed my shoulder.
They've already eaten.
No charge, Jenny said evenly. I like feeding children.
Oh,
Mr. Robert released me.
Well then, that's different.